If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike Roizen. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. As we said, we don't have either the email line or any phone lines open right now. So I'm going to say you can try and email me, and I'll get questions to the guests for next week. It's emails at udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. And you can try and call in, and hopefully 2G, who's substituting for Sonar today, will be able to get your question and maybe email me on the Comrex line, but what your question is. But in the meantime, we have two great guests. They're the National Headline Award, 3KD Awards, honors from numerous other national and state groups. That's what one of our authors has, and they shared in the work on a Pulitzer Prize for just what they're talking about now, which is eating dangerously. That is, this is not a scary book, but it's why the government can't keep your food safe and how you can. So the hopeful part of this, the great part of this, is we're going to learn what you should do so that listeria problem, the cantaloupe problem, the problem with Taco Bell's undercooked ground meat, and with the major source of chicken now being a problem, doesn't happen to you. So Michael Booth and Jennifer Brown, thank you very much for being here. The book is Eating Dangerously, and just like the book we covered before, Ted Spiker's book called Downsize, this is a great book, Eating Dangerously. So first of all, how did you two guys get together? Who should take that?
I'll take that, I guess.
Yeah, go ahead, Jess.
Well, I was just going to say that we sat next to each other as Denver Post reporters for several years. Mike was the health reporter at the time of the cantaloupe outbreak in Colorado, which went on to kill 33 people officially who were contaminated with listeria. And we wrote many, many stories about that outbreak for the Denver Post and decided one day that there was so much there that couldn't fit in a newspaper, so many things that we found that we thought should be brought to light, that we decided to make a book.
Now, he was the health reporter. What was your role?
I am on the investigations team, so we were a pretty good pair to look into what was going on at this farm in Holly, Colorado, and how it was that all of these cantaloupes were shipped all over the country, basically with poison on them.
Well, one of the points, when I was in my youth, and this is a long time ago, 30 to 40 years ago, or probably 25 to 40 years ago when I did this, I would go to slaughterhouses to pick up parts of the animal that we would use for preparing enzymes that we used in some of our assays, some of our biochemical assays when I was doing the basic research that I was doing on stress and consciousness. And what I was so amazed with was that the inspectors at the slaughterhouse never actually inspected the beef, never actually got out of the room where they were just essentially doing paperwork, as far as I could tell. They never looked. I mean, I was more in with the cattle than they were. And it was exceedingly I was amazed at the lack of protection, and it wasn't one, it was every slaughterhouse. And so that's what you kind of found, right? There isn't anyone overseeing the chicken coop, so to speak.
That's what we were talking about, from going from this small, one small farm that then, in our current system, ships cantaloupes to, you know, a couple of dozen states. And so those 33 deaths that happened in 2011 happened all over the country. And so it was definitely one farm that they very quickly isolated it to as being the problem. But also looking at, well, what allowed that to happen and get all throughout the system? Are there systemic problems? Was it just this one farm? And as you look into it, and the deeper we got into it, we realized that this farm was just like a lot of the slaughterhouses are and packing plants are. is frequently inspected by people who have a lot of degrees and a lot of professional accomplishments in their life and hand out a lot of gold stars to people for the audits that they do. But then you find out, well, who's paying for that audit? It's either the farm or it's the slaughterhouse themselves, or it's someone else in the system who has a stake in having everything come out rosy. And then when problems are pointed out, there's nobody following up and saying, you need to go fix that, and we're not going to let you sell that stuff until you do fix it. There is very little oversight, whether it's at the farm level, whether it's at these massive packing plants that do millions of chickens and millions of pounds of beef in a month. It's pretty staggering the more you look into it.
Well, what I'd like to do is let's segregate the we have two segments, and let's segregate this one to the what I would call the raw foods we eat, such as cantaloupe and spinach, and do the cooked foods we eat and what we can do. So what I'd like to do is both. The problem is generic, if you will, in both areas. There isn't enough. There aren't enough inspectors. There is no way of inspecting broadly enough. And thus, what do we as individuals have to do to protect ourselves with food like cantaloupe or lettuce or celery or spinach?
Sure. Well, let's start by where do you shop for it being the first place, and then we can go through some of the other tips that we talk about in terms of how do you shop and what else do you do along the way, all through the cooking and all through storing your food after you've cooked. But in terms of where you shop, some people do this better than others do. There are some major chains, in fact, that do things like test and hold produce or require that their suppliers of these, you know, huge truckloads of bags of spinach or bags of greens, that stuff gets tested for microbes before it's sent out and then cleaned and then held again for more tests until it's shipped out the door. And so there are some chains that we talk about and some major brand names out there, like Costco, for example, has a very strong food safety program in both produce and fresh meat. And Jen can talk about other ways that people can make decisions even before they decide which grocery store they're heading to.
Well, is there something we can do? Now, one of the things you do point out is that the spinach company has totally changed its behavior because of the problem. You'd hope they would have changed it beforehand, but what can we do in our home? Is there anything we can do, Jen, that we all should do? And by the way, I know the answer, but our listeners don't.
Right. Well, some of the things seem so obvious, and even many of the listeners will be like, well, of course you should do that. However, you know, thousands of people get food poisoning every year. I mean, all of us have probably had some sort of food poisoning at some point and just don't realize it because you think it's something else and it's not that severe and it goes away. But, I mean, some of the most basic things are to not cross-contaminate your kitchen or your refrigerator. When you come home from the grocery store and you put stuff away, you should put the meat on the bottom. You should put anything that you're ever going to eat raw, like a green pepper or a lettuce or tomatoes, above that to, you know, decrease any chance that something's going to drip on it and then you eat it raw. And when you're cooking, one of the startling things we found is that chicken juice can splatter 6 feet across your kitchen, excuse me. So the best thing to do with raw chicken or raw poultry, which is really one of the most bacteria-laden products you can buy, is take it straight out of the package and straight into your pan that you're going to cook it in. Don't wash it off. People think, oh, if you wash off the raw chicken, you'll get some of the bacteria off of it. Well, you will, but you'll also get it all over your kitchen sink, probably on your counter, and it might have splashed, you know, 6 feet across your kitchen, and when you set an apple down on that, you could get salmonella or campylobacter.
We got to take a hard break now. Jen and Mike, we've got to take a hard break. We're talking about Eating Dangerously by Michael Booth and Jennifer Brown. And as you can hear, there's solutions as well. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, Radio MD. Stay well.
Did you know the body's natural collagen production slows at a rate of 1.5% per year after age 25? Replenishing the body's collagen supply helps minimize fine lines and wrinkles and improves skin elasticity, builds and supports bone matrix, repairs connective tissues, improves circulation, and promotes wound healing. With the highest collagen dosage on the market, restore your youthful vitality with NeoCell, the number one collagen brand in the world and the leader in nutracosmetics. NeoCell.com.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things, and it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me. So I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The thing is, I would never give blood before. You know, before this happened to me, I thought of every excuse of the book, but I'm so thankful that everybody didn't think the way I did, or I would have died.
Like so many new mothers, Noelle needed blood during the birth of her son. Thanks to the American Red Cross and a donor like you, it was there. One donation, just an hour of your time, can help save up to 3 lives. Please sign up to give now at redcrossblood.org.